Welcome to another episode of 20s Toolbox here on WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I hope you all are doing well. It's that time of the month where a lot of people start throwing around the dreaded G word, as I've heard it called by many of my close friends, graduation. It's exciting, yes, but it's also daunting, that's for sure. Whether you're walking across the stage this month or watching others do it while silently panicking about what's next, this episode is for you. Tonight, we're talking with a young adult about his post-grad life, what it looks like, what no one really tells you, and why it's okay if you don't have it all figured out. This is especially for those of you who are feeling scared. I know I am. I may only be a junior, but it's still scary to think about. Maybe you're unsure about your career path, worried about moving back home, or you're feeling the pressure to succeed right away. You're not alone, and we're going to break that down together. So sit back, relax, take a deep breath, and let's talk about what comes after the cap and gown. Please welcome to the show, John Nelson. John Nelson is a graduate of the University of Scranton, where he studied computer engineering and philosophy with minors in mathematics and computer science. John is currently a software developer at Lumen Technologies, a telecom company which is building the backbone of the AI economy through their network. He worked as an intern for them and came on full-time in June 2024, almost a year ago. And in his free time, John works extensively at his local parish, teaching faith formation and helping lead their music ministry. John, thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm so excited to hear you talk about your post-grad life tonight.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited about this.
So before we dive in, I know I may have covered most of it in the bio, but would you be able to share a little bit more about yourself, your experience, and what you do for our listeners?
Yeah, I'm happy to do so. Yeah, that bio covered a lot of what my undergraduate experience was like, at least on face value, but, you know, it was also filled with a lot of extracurricular activities. I did a lot with the engineering clubs on campus. I was in a couple intramural leagues and things, and I helped out a lot with campus ministries, hence, hopping over and helping out more with the parish. Yeah, and then since graduating, I've been trying to put a little bit more time into travel, which is something I've never done before. So that's a new piece of my life I've added in. And I'm just trying to navigate the new young adult life, you know, working full time, balancing that while still visiting friends. It's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah, good to hear. Where have you traveled to?
I've started with the United States because, I'm very, very not traveled at all. I didn't do almost any in my childhood, so it's all new for me. But I got up and down a lot of the East Coast. I got all the way up as far as Boston and all the way south as far as Florida, and a couple of different places in between. And I went out west as well to California and to Arizona and Colorado as well. So checked off a couple off my bucket list so far, which is nice.
Wow, that's so cool. I hope I can travel some more after college too. So let's just dive right in. Would you be able to talk about how you kind of felt leading up to graduation? I'm sure there were a lot of emotions, maybe excitement, nervous, overwhelmed, kind of what were those feelings for you?
Yeah, all of the above, I would say. It was the full range of emotions. Yeah, anywhere from extremely excited, it's a new chapter in your life. You've got things you're looking forward to where you're moving and your new job, just new experiences that you're going to have in general. You're also very nervous because everything is completely unknown. You know, you feel like you've never done this before. You've never taken this kind of step before. This is a lot more risk than you're used to. That's one thing that gets you definitely nervous. For me, it was also a great deal of sadness, which I know a lot of seniors can relate to. Yeah, you leave behind a lot of wonderful people, wonderful practices. Community is one of the biggest things that you say goodbye to. And that hurts. It is a shocking, sorry, and sad feeling. So I would say that almost predominantly sadness would be the case. But the sadness does turn to joy, of course, when you revisit and come back on these memories.
Yeah, exactly. And especially both of us coming from Scranton, you know, community is a big word we kind of foster here. And it's a really special place, right?
Yeah.
So kind of building off those emotions, would you be able to talk about what did your first month after graduation really look like compared to maybe if you had a vision of what it was going to look like? Was it different than you expected? The same?
Yeah, I think a great way to compare it, which I'm sure, you know, many even graduating seniors can relate to right now, is when you start senior year, you're pretty positive about exactly what that first month of graduation, what you want to look like. You want it to be safe, secure, with a full-time job waiting for you or grad school or whatever it is, locked in and ready, plans are set, and you're going to be done. Now, sometimes a lot of people don't know what those plans are going to be, and that's kind of the part that's a little bit unknown. For me, I had already had that full-time job locked in starting my senior year. So I already kind of knew at the beginning of senior year that what I was getting into, I knew my start date. What I didn't know was what I was actually going to do in between. I had a whole month off in between when I started and when I finished college. And that was some of the strangest time I had ever. I mean, I was unemployed and I wasn't working anywhere. And I also didn't have any school. There was no schoolwork. So it was just kind of floating in the wind. It was an interesting month. Yeah, so I'd say maybe the month was interesting. I did what I ended up doing was just doing some traveling, as I mentioned, which was good, kind of to get everything loose before I started up at my full-time job. No more summer breaks anymore. So that's a new reality that I have to live with. So I took my last shot at one, which was nice.
Yeah, I love that. Talking about kind of just the whole experience, did you feel any pressure kind of maybe within yourself or maybe from friends or family to kind of, graduate college and have everything figured out already?
Yeah, 100%. I did feel that pressure. I'm sure a lot of people relate to that. It's definitely a normal thing for in conversation, especially leading up to graduation. Everybody's asking you, "So, what are the next steps?" Or, "So, where are you moving to?" And you have no idea sometimes. And that can be a tough reality if you really don't have these things, figured out and squared away, especially in the few months leading up to graduation, as those, kind of deadlines keep looming. Yeah, for me, I think I was fortunate to have that kind of secure job, so I did know kind of where I was headed to. But I actually did have options open. I was still applying to other places to see what was going to happen. So a lot of things were kind of still up in the air. And so in many ways, I felt pressure from those jobs not being handled, those interviews not being handled, and me not being able to affirm exactly what I was going to be doing. That still kind of had that impending doom pressure. But it was all resolved, so it's not a huge deal anymore, but I certainly felt it at the time.
Yeah, it probably felt like it was this huge mountain to get over at the moment. And then you got
Yeah.
over it and you're like, yeah, it's okay now.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned that you were, before you graduated, you kind of had that full-time job set up. How did that happen? I feel like a lot of people, I mean, I'm only going to be a junior, so I'm not dealing with graduation just yet. Hopefully the
Yeah.
next go very slow. But how did you kind of nail that down and what was that process like?
Yeah, for me, it was very fortunate to have an internship program that prioritized giving real-world experience, and the end goal was for you to come on full-time in an internship. So I had this internship the summer before my senior year, and as I finished that internship, we started talking about what the full-time role would look like and whether I wanted to accept that or not. That is something you can prioritize. And so, for those maybe that are listening that are thinking about what internships to get, that's a great question to ask in the internship process is how many people that get this internship are converted to a full-time role? Is that a goal of the internship program as a whole? That's the great questions to ask. That was something I looked for specifically, and it was something I was fortunate to get. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess you kind of touched on this, but those other jobs that you were kind of applying to, what was, the job search process like? Did you have any wins or challenges maybe you didn't see coming?
Yeah, that was certainly a tough process, and something that I think a lot of people are relating to right now. I still have friends had graduated with me 1 year ago that struggle with this process. The job market, while there are jobs out there, they are tough to get to. And the market right now, because of online applications, means that application processes are really oversaturated. You might have a role that in the past might have had 10 applicants locally that now, for remote jobs like mine, you're getting hundreds of applicants in the United States alone, not to mention people that are applying from outside the United States as well. So that could be a difficult process because getting through and into the part where you actually start talking to people takes a long time now. And oftentimes people are getting weeded out pretty quickly. What I would suggest, if I could give any piece of advice, is to definitely take some time to look over at tips and tricks, either on LinkedIn or YouTube or some other media, for getting your resume noticed by screening software platforms. Because a lot of larger companies now, if that's what you're going for in the corporate world, are screening resumes not with people, but they're using either an AI bot or some kind of software. And you got to make sure you've got buzzwords that'll make you get through that first round and talking to a person where you can really stand out with your soft skills. Yeah, that is a hard one. I mean, I can remember I had put in for internships alone, I had put in over 80 applications. And I only had heard back from, I'd say, about 10%. And only a few of those turned into interviews at all. So, yeah, it's all a numbers game these days, which is tough. But yeah, that's what we're living with.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, I love LinkedIn. It's like my favorite resource. Half of the jobs that I'm like either looking at or even interested in are all on LinkedIn. I was having a conversation with my mom the other day. She's like, "I was just on your LinkedIn. How do you have 500 connections?" I was like, "Oh, well, I just go around like connecting with people like in my like a job area." And she's like, "Oh, that's really good."
A
So
great tip. Yeah, definitely do that. Definitely.
we have that. Yeah, so Scranton's preparing to graduate this week. Some other colleges have already graduated, but it's definitely the time of the year. So, what's something you wish someone had told you before graduating?
Yeah, geez. I mean, I feel like I was definitely blessed with some really great mentors at Scranton, and so I actually feel like I did hear a lot of the things that I wish I would have heard. So maybe I'll share some of these things now because I was fortunate enough to hear them before graduation. Tip number one, and Grace, I think you may have even heard this one already from one of my good friends, Dr. Dan, in Campus Ministries. His number one suggestion for graduating seniors is to wake up early on the morning before graduation. So let's say that your graduation's at 9 a.m. and you got to leave by, 7 to get there. You got to be up at 5. You got to be up nice and early, and you got to get your closest friends together, few squad if you can. I wouldn't say more than four, and you got to take a walk around campus. You got to walk into these buildings you've had classes in. Walk around the places that you used to stay, your old freshman dorm, not for pictures, just for memories. Yeah, to kind of take in, because yeah, truly what you miss, again, a lot predominantly, is the community and the memories, the opportunity to see friends all the time. And you won't get those memories back. And so you got to keep making memories till the last minute. And so I would say 100%, I would suggest doing that. I would also 100% suggest solidifying and coming up with a way to communicate with the mentors that you had in undergraduate. So if you ever found that there were certain professors or certain ways, certain people that you were connecting very well with, I would solidify those connections. Especially, let's say it's somebody that you can't really talk to regularly on LinkedIn or that doesn't answer their email well, figure out how you're going to contact them and continue that connection. Because yeah, network is everything. So that would be another really, really big suggestion I would give.
Yeah, networking is a really cool thing. These days, I feel like it's a lot about the people you know. It's what you know, but sometimes it's a lot about the people you know too.
I would say 100%. Yeah, that one remains true. Yeah, it's 100% about who you know. Yeah, just as much about what you know.
Have you ever dealt with, moments of self-doubt or maybe imposter syndrome before graduating, kind of like, can't really believe this moment is here. I don't really know what comes next. And how did you make your way through that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I certainly feel like myself and a lot of my classmates definitely relate to that. You've looked forward to this moment. You knew this was the end goal. For those maybe that didn't go to grad school like myself, that was the end goal. That always has been, since second grade, you knew, all right, I'm going to try to work really hard so I can get to college and get that college degree. That was that goal. And when you cross over the finish line like that, you're kind of just left like you're goalless all of a sudden. You don't have this overarching theme across your whole life. And that part can bring in like a shock factor, like, how am I even here? I didn't even realize how I got here in the first place. Do I even deserve to be here in the first place? Have I really achieved something? Yeah, I would say two things. One, wait it out. You'll find a lot of times after graduation, once you really do start getting going, you start to realize that the world isn't as scary and hard to figure out as you think it is, and that everybody else is trying to figure this stuff out too. Everybody else is, and it's not really as complicated as you might think it is. You might look at the world like it's a black box, but once you get into it, everybody else is fumbling their way through it too. You can kind of figure your way through it just as easily as they can. I can even remember during my undergraduate experience being at a big conference with a bunch of different schools. And of course, we're from the University of Scranton. We're a pretty small school. And there were big names up on here. There was a couple of Ivies, a lot of big, big state schools, This was for an engineering conference, so a lot of really big engineering schools, and I felt like a fish out of water. I said, I'm gonna get eaten alive at this conference. Yeah, not so. University of Scranton came in, we were top 30% finishers, beating out a lot of these bigger schools. I won't name names, but we were taking names out there. And that was something that really solidified in my head to remember, just because I'm from a small school, or just because I feel like little old me. No, we still got this. Yeah. And you'll find that, I think, too, as you graduate, you find out that the world isn't as scary and as complicated as you think it is.
Yeah, that's a great reassurance. We're all going through it together. Everybody has to do it at some point. So,
Yep. This is everybody's first try.
might as well try to forge the way, right? Obviously, when you're in college, you have like this regimented routine of, I don't know, getting coffee with your friends, studying, going to classes. But once you graduate, that routine kind of fades away and becomes different. So, what does a typical day look like for you now, and how does it compare to that regimented college routine?
Yeah, great question. That was an initial big, aha moment and struggle, I would say, of mine. Having my schedule handed to me was what I did took completely for granted, was one of the biggest graces I had ever received. It kept me disciplined. It kept me on task. I had deadlines that I had to get. I had feedback that I was looking to get, like good grades and stuff. That kind of stuff will organize your life. It'll set your priorities straight for you. And when you get out of college, you have to, determine what your priorities are going to be. You have to sit down and actually decide how you're going to spend your time. I liked to say right after graduation that I felt like I, worked really hard during college, and as long as I was awake, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., I was doing something. I was working. It was a social event, schoolwork. I was doing something, and I come to start working this 9 to 5. And it's like, all right, I get up, I eat my breakfast, I work 9 to 5, I close my laptop at 5 o'clock. Well, geez, now there's no homework, there's no guaranteed social activities, and I've got at least 4 hours to kill before I'm even close to being tired. It's like, what the heck am I gonna do with myself? So, you have to come up with more goals. You have to come up with ways for yourself to get feedback. You've got to decide what your priorities are gonna be. So for me, what did I decide then? What were the priorities that I set in my goal? Yeah, one thing I did was to make sure that I was staying healthy. So I started to learn how to cook for myself. That was something I hadn't really put a lot of time and effort into yet, but I put a lot of time and effort into that. I got my mom to help me out getting the right cookbook, and I started, cooking things with her. And then I moved out, after a few months of being home, and it was helpful to get information. And now I'm on my own. I got to keep cooking for myself. Definitely, I do. I got to make sure that I'm getting the right food group. So that was the main goal for me. That was one thing I did. I also, I started going to the gym. Made a regimen out of that, decided when I was going to go, committed to that. Yeah, another big part of me is getting involved in my community. Like I said, the parish stuff that I've been doing. So I made that a goal, that I wanted to get involved as my parish as I could. I had some certain things in mind. And once you start kind of coloring in those goals, your priorities start aligning themselves, and you start kind of finding that your time gets filled, and then you have a more regimented routine. So I'd say, what have I landed on? I've landed on morning gym. These days, which I know some people are against. I did evening gym. I thought it was too busy. I tried morning. I liked it a little bit more. So it's up to what they want to do. I got my work from 9 to 5 that I do, and it's nice enough with my manager that we've kind of worked out different ways of. I work remotely, so sometimes I'm even working 8 to 4. Sometimes I'm shifting it a little bit later if I have to, which is nice. I cook for myself of some kind, and then I always try to make sure I've got some kind of activity, something keeping me busy throughout the evening. I found that after college, if I didn't push myself enough, I might just sit on my phone all day, and that's not really the best way to live your life. So, yeah, I decided to kind of pick up some goals, some loose hobbies that keep me busy. I joined some leagues. There are a lot of young adult leagues around the place, a lot of young adult social clubs you can join. Yeah, ways to get involved in your community, things like that. Yeah, that's what my day looks like.
It's great to see you've kept yourself involved. I remember at Scranton, you were always very busy too. So it's nice to see that that has translated over into your post-grad life. So happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, kind of maybe exchanging contact info with mentors or professors you've had through post-grad life, but how have you stayed connected with like friends you've made in college or kind of keeping up with those relationships?
Yeah, I mean, I would say you're probably not going to be a great friend if you're not calling your friends every once in a while. So I'd make a point to do that. Yeah, make a point to call the people in your life that you want to care about, that you want to keep in your life. I've heard some people say, yeah, keep in touch with the people you want to send a wedding invitation to, something along those lines, right? Yeah, you got to come up with your short list and yeah, push yourself to reach out to these people, text them every once in a while, call and catch up. That's what I do for my friends and for my mentors. I've tried to make it a quarterly thing. So I'll email them or call them, yeah, probably about 4 times a year, with, just updates, maybe questions that I have, things I want to bounce off of them. Of course, more if I need to, but that's been a pretty good schedule so far. Yeah, and I would highly encourage that because, again, who you know is a very big thing. And yeah, you might find that these people that you're following up with after graduation, some of them do really amazing stuff, and maybe you might want to work for them a couple years down the road. And so it's good to keep up those connections, definitely.
People remember you too. If you did something in college, you graduate, and a few years down the road, they'll still remember you and what you did and your work and all that. So it's nice to keep those connections going.
Definitely.
As we wrap up today, if you could give one piece of advice to someone who's about to graduate, what would it be? I know it's a very deep question.
Yeah, it's just so hard. I did the walk around campus. I think that's a great piece of advice that I definitely got. I'd say to come up with something unique. This is going to be a bit of a convoluted answer, but for example, I had some friends that on graduation day brought some disposable cameras and took a bunch of funky pictures outside while we waited to walk in, and they made a whole photo album out of that. I had some friends that decided that the Monday after graduation, they were going to take a trip as their group, and they were going to go visit this thing an hour and a half away. They were going to go a whole day trip out of it. Do something like that. Make a memory. Do something unique that you'll be able to hold on to for a little bit. Either go to a place where you can get some memorabilia, or just do something to make a memory. Don't waste those moments sitting around. Because again, I can't say this enough. The people in the community are the things you're going to miss the most. The other stuff's important, but it's the people in the community the most. And you got to make some memories that'll last a lifetime. That's the ideal.
Yeah, I love that picture idea, like having something tangible to hold on
Yeah.
to, having the memory in your head. Love that. I'll have to keep that in mind. One last question for you, kind of reflecting on your career thus far in your life. What's the best advice you've ever received, and would you be able to share that?
Another great question. I think I've got two, if we're talking career-oriented advice. Yeah, I think I've got two. One thing, and I think people stress this all the time, but it's just good, it's important to say it again. Definitely keep a learning mindset, a growth mindset at whatever job you're doing. You constantly want to be making sure that you are maximizing the amount that you can learn. You got to be asking questions. It's a little hard at first to ask a million questions, but once you get over that fear, I ask questions all day, every day, and I'm making sure that I'm learning all day, every day, about as much as you can, because you never know what's going to come in handy, what's going to go in and out of style. You might start a job doing one thing, and then they transition you to do something completely different just because you started learning other stuff too. And those kinds of opportunities only happen if you're constantly learning. So I'd say keep that learning mindset. Second thing, and this is particularly for career growth, this is some good advice that I've received. I think some people are fortunate they find themselves at a company that has a pretty direct career ladder. They say, all right, you achieve these things, that's what gets you your promotion to this next level, this next pay grade. If you achieve this thing, that moves you up to the next. Like some people have that. I would say, for the most part, that is not the case. For the most part, at companies that you're at, clear levels of how you get promoted is not the case. So then, how is it going to be that you're going to stand out? How are you going to decide to get promoted? What are the things you can do? This is the best advice I've received for that. I've tried to put it into use in my own way, and I really do think it's working in many ways. When you're doing your job, do your best to, at some point, figure out how to teach someone else how to do your job, and then start teaching people how to do your job. So for me, like I'm a level one software developer. I'm not a manager. I have nobody below me. I don't do really anything unique, right? But if I'm doing something that's unique, if I find something new, I'm constantly teaching other people the new things I find out, constantly. And the goal is that the more that you tell people exactly how to do your job, when the time comes for you to take up maybe a manager position that falls out, or you want to go for a promotion, and they ask, what are the kinds of things that you've done to prepare yourself, or that you can show to say this? You can say, well, I know that I can leave my job because everybody already knows how to do my job. I've taught everybody else. Not only have you paved the way for you to be promoted much more easily because they don't have to do any extra training, but you've also shown that you take a lot of initiative as a leader, and you've shown that you've got good communication skills and good teaching skills. It kind of checks off every single box. And as far as what you would need in order to get promoted, I think it does a really good job at setting you up for that. So yeah, that would be the advice I would give. Try to constantly teach other people how to do your job so that when the time comes, you will get that promotion. Again, you're not making yourself like exclusive or anything like that. I think that's what people tend to do. They tend to think that if I find my niche and I stick to it and hold to this, no one will ever be able to take it from me. And I'll show that I do really good work because I do this thing. And it's much better if you show that you're a collaborator. Much, much better, I think.
Wow, I love that so much. I'm gonna start using that. That's just,
Yeah.
I really love that. I think it says, it would say a lot about your basic character, right? That you're able to,
Yes.
not only like I can do this, but other people also now know how to do it. So, wow, I love that. Well, thank you. You're teaching me something already now. Well, thank you so much, John. This was so much fun. I hope you had a good time. I think I've really admired you a lot while you were here at Scranton. So I thank you so much for this and commend you on a good career thus far.
Thanks, Grace. I appreciate that very much. Yeah, keep up the good content. This is great.
That's a wrap on this episode of 20s Toolbox here on WDIY. Whether you're about to toss your cap in the air or you're already feeling the weight of what comes next, I hope tonight's conversation reminded you that you're not alone in this. Postgrad life is full of unknowns, but it's also full of growth, discovery, and moments that will shape who you're becoming. There's no one right way to do it, and it's okay if your path looks different than you expected. If something in tonight's episode resonated with you, share it with a friend who might need to hear it. And as always, be kind to yourself. You're doing better than you think. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you next time on 20s Toolbox.